This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Greetings, I'm Barry. Now this week, Lee Harris has been talking with Janneka from Wisdom from the North. All sorts of exciting stuff's going to happen.
Lee Harris, a warm welcome back to the Wisdom from North show. How are you doing?
I'm really good. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you back. I always enjoy our conversations. I love your videos on YouTube. And those who are new to you, you are a world-renowned channeler of the collective known as the Z's. We're going to hear from them later today. You are also an energy intuitive. You are an author. And the big shout out, because you are now traveling around the US giving live events, and you're also coming to Europe and even to Oslo, to my own country, Norway. And I bet there are a lot of Norwegians that are so excited about it. Then I would like to mention, you just came out with an album as well, and I just heard one of the songs and it's just gorgeous. So congrats with a new musical album.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, we're so excited. We're doing this tour because I felt like, particularly with everything that's going on in the world, for me, when you're in person, it's an unbeatable feeling. I know you know that from recent presentations that you've been doing in America. And there is, obviously, it's amazing we can reach each other worldwide through the internet. But something happens when you're in a room together. I think the harmonic field of the gathering, all the people, what you conduct from the stage, but then what happens in the room, it leaves an imprint. So I was really determined that we were going to get to as many cities as we could manage. And so we're doing 16 dates in North America, starting on May 30th, ending in Canada on July 4th. And then we start the European tour in the UK on October 4th. And I'm thrilled we're coming to Norway, because I said to you right before we started the interview, I've always had this love of Norway. I've been told by several intuitives I have many past lives there, and I always feel that, and I love the Norwegian people. So very excited to be in Oslo in October.
I love that. So then we'll have some true wisdom from North today then.
Yeah. And we also bring, so it's interesting, the show is a blend of everything I do. So it's got channeling, questions and answers. I teach intuitively to the room. So usually hours before I take the stage, I tune in on what are the themes of the group that are gathering, a bit like an energy update focused specifically on the room. And we also bring some of our healing music and songs in. So you mentioned Sacred Fire. I'm in the very room, the padded room where we recorded all of that here in England last September. And we're here right now, Devorah and I, rehearsing, because we're probably going to have about 8 to 10 songs as part of the evening. Some sing along, but several from the album Sacred Fire. Mm-hmm. And the idea behind Sacred Fire was, you know, we all need tools at the moment to help us with either our nervous system or balance. And so our intention with Sacred Fire was, let's create a really healing album that's very focused on connecting you to yourself. So some of the vocals are sung and there is a lot of spoken word, but it's designed to be a healing balm. So yeah, it came out a couple of weeks ago and it's freely available on all the streaming platforms. And we also have a CD and a vinyl for if you're like me and you like physical music, which I've always loved.
Yeah, and when you sing, you're in your heart and you feel joy. And we're going to address like the current affairs in the world, what's happening in the world. And we're going to hear what Z's has to say about that, some wisdom from them, because it's quite overwhelming what's happening. Mm-hmm. However, I would like to ask you from the get-go, how do you feel our conversation today might expand people's consciousness, knowing the wisdom that Z's usually share?
It's interesting. As I was tuning in like half an hour ago, I thought, well, our job today is to bring love and to not bring love in a forced way or a fake way, but to allow love in. I will share this. This comes to me. I was with some friends last week. I just took a little over a week off work, which was great. I turned 50, so I decided to celebrate here with family, with friends, with my beloved. And we were having a big conversation one night over dinner about the state of the world. And my friends are also very spiritually minded. Buddhism has been their path. And we were talking about no matter what is going on or no matter what happens, our purpose remains the same. My friend was sharing that, you know, her example was, even if we were heading towards the apocalypse, the purpose is still to bring consciousness and to be consciousness, because we know that the soul is eternal. And we know that there is a level of, if you like, holographic reality on Earth that most of us aren't living in or thinking about. You know, most of us, certainly before we wake up, buy into the story of everything that's happening to us, and we emotionally respond to it, and we have a story about it all. And then as you wake up, you start to loosen the grip of the story. You start to heal some of the deep down emotions that perhaps used to be triggering for you. And you would keep finding people who could help you play out your most wounded story until you get to the point where you start to let it go. And I really loved what she said, because I thought to myself, yeah, I thought, you know, if you told me, oh, the world's going to end in a year, or if you told me, yep, yeah, we're going through the heart of this dark, difficult chapter that is going to bring us to a rebirth, not without damage, not without loss, not without grief, not without pain, not without suffering. I mean, we're seeing it all right now. I also feel like my role wouldn't change. The way I live my life and what I'm here to do, I know for me, I'm supposed to be a vessel and a bridge of helping people access their own consciousness in my work and my way of being. And then I know I'm like all of us, I'm on my own healing path, and I'm going through my own expansions and healings and learnings personally. It wouldn't change for me. So I think there's something very liberating about that. I think one of the hardest temptations right now is to not buy into the doom and gloom stories. And I think what's hard about that is your rational mind goes, but there are so many awful things happening. And that is true. But there are also so many examples of life, love, hope for the future, transformation. And the way we have been run as a world so far has been to get us to focus on the worst. Because if we keep focusing on the worst, and if our mainstream media perpetuates the worst stories and shows us the horror and shows us the worst stuff, if we are susceptible to that, if we don't have another worldview as to why we're being fed that information, we can get down, depressed, heartbroken, devastated. And I think for most people who are living in a more awake way, for me, the heartbreak or the devastation comes in waves. It's not my permanent state. I'll see what's going on in Minnesota in January and I'll feel heartbroken for a few days because I see what's going on. And to any of us who I think have a consciousness relationship, whether you're Buddhist or whether you have a religion that helps you see the good, not the hate, because a lot of religion is used as a justification for hate. But actually, I'm talking about the people who use religion to be in their heart and to think of their fellow neighbor as equal, not as someone they need to destroy because they're from a different racial group or a different sexuality. That's not love for me. That's religious dogma and control that is keeping people in a hate loop. And they use the religion to justify that. And we're seeing a lot of that. So I think if you're someone who lives that way, the insanity of seeing hate in action, of seeing lack of compassion in action, it's pretty devastating. But I also recognize that you get to a point where you mature. I know for me, around 2016, my guide said to me, you have to understand there is darkness on the planet and you have to make peace with that now in order to get more into your light. And it was such a simple thing. And it wasn't that I didn't know there was darkness on the planet, but they were explaining to me that unless I was willing to say, yes, I want to be here to see, experience, and help create more love and light on the planet. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to experience. That's what I want other people to experience. I also had to go, oh, yeah, there is this dark paradigm that has been running for a long, 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 long time. And right now, some of the forces that want to keep that dark running are going gangbusters, doing everything they can to kind of wrap that around us. And so as much as the Z's will talk about the transformation of consciousness and they'll talk about the time we're in, I don't fully know how it's going to play out. I don't fully know what the different keys are that are going to change things. But I have heard them say this for so long. And I'm aware that I'm here for now. And that my personal job is to keep myself as balanced as I can when I can, but equally to not be afraid of the days I'm in grief or that my heart breaks for what I see about the planet. Or, you know, those moments that you have where you're like, what is this? You know, why am I on this planet when this is happening? And you have to remember, yeah, we're all being asked to look at that and we're all being shown that for a reason, because there is an agenda that would like the whole planet to look like that. But there are so many of us who don't buy into it. We aren't here for it. We're here to build and be something else. And we're standing on the generations of pioneers who've come before us and taught us that or held that light. And it's our job to keep holding it in our own way. And I'll say one last thing, which is, I love that you brought up the word joy, because several years ago, my guides were, I was doing some workshops and they kept channeling, the channeled messages kept saying, you have to remember joy, connect to it, and be a guardian of it. And at the time, you could argue, well, hang on a second, there are so many people going through so many tough things. You're not doing it to be selfish. You're not doing it to keep it all to yourself. You know, joyous people are resourced. They have enough in their tank that they can give to others, they can be benevolent to others. And we never know as humans when we're going to get hit with something. You know, whether it's we go through a health crisis, we go through a life crisis, a lot of people close to us are in crisis. So our own ability to generate for others might just be a bit lower than it normally is. And we might have to go inward for a while. But if you can find joy in your daily experience, I think that's so important. And you know, last thing I'll say is none of us are getting out of here alive in this body. So that for me is always a great leveler. I think sometimes we get very scared about what we're seeing. And I always go, well, you know, I might have 50 more years. You know, I know medical technology is coming and people say that will extend lives if you want to. But yeah, you know, so you have to also keep it in perspective. I've even just in recent years, so many people I know have died young, 30s, 40s, 50s. So I always try and not get too hooked into the dark story of Earth when it wants my attention. And I try and remember, well, if this was my last day on Earth, do I want to spend my time worrying about a story that's being shoved down my throat? Or do I want to connect to the gorgeous trees that I can see through my window here, or the wonder of life, or the wonder of a connection I'm in? So I'm not saying any of that's easy. And it's a, you know, I think it's a, for all of us, we're all doing it in different ways. We're all slightly different. But for me, these are the things that I come back to. These are the knowings I come back to whenever I feel like I may have destabilized a bit, or I've just gone through a period where I had to purge some stuff out of me. Yeah.
I love that. And I've also heard you speak about, or maybe the Z's have been speaking about, that we are, or they are allowing, or I think they worded it like that, multiple timelines right now. So actually, people are experiencing different realities in a sense. So one could have a joyful life and then another could have a lot of suffering. And I got to say that I feel a lot of joy in my life. And then I turn on the news and I'm reminded, oh, you know, and speaking of the news, I think it's so helpful to talk about this, because I've heard you say that love is not on the news. Why is love not on the news? And I was thinking, He's so right. I never hear the word love on the news. Mm-hmm. And since I haven't thought about that, that becomes, you know, like the natural thing that we are afraid of maybe using that word, because that is the programming in society that we don't speak about the heart so much. I mean, I was just on a board meeting with 40 people yesterday, and everybody was speaking from their minds. And I was like, but we got to remember the heart. And people were like looking at me like I was crazy.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Why are we not hearing about love on the news?
Well, the Z's would say, because the people in charge of the news are the ones running the show on the planet, and they don't want to see humanity rise into the consciousness that it's actually capable of. They say that our development got clamped a long time ago. And so the paradigm that we have been in is to hold and control us and keep us limited. It's so interesting. I did a course last year called Next Level Healer. I wanted to create an extensive program that would serve people who identify as healers in the world. And even that word healer, you know, I thought, ooh, really? That's the word I have to go with? And they were like, yes. And I was like, okay, then we need to reinvent the word healer, because it has a lot of negativity towards it, or attack sometimes, or people go, oh, I'm not a healer, I'm not healed. Well, there are therapists out there that might be great therapists, but they're a mess in their personal life. So it doesn't mean that, you know, you have to, if you have a skill and that's your alignment, you can be very good at something. So anyway, when I was researching for that, and I never normally research for any of my courses because I try and stay intuitive, but I did decide to look up, why are healers so persecuted in society? Because for 20 years with everyone I've worked with, whether it was, I did one-on-one sessions for 15 years, I've done workshops since 2006 around the world, there was always this wound of persecution for healers, whether it was that you thought you were burned as a witch for speaking out, whether it was that you just were scared to speak about your spiritual beliefs. And I thought, why is that? It's so in society that you get attacked or ridiculed for speaking about the heart or about healing. And I, you know, it was one of my first times using Google AI, and I thought, well, everyone's going on about this thing, I'll just go and I'll run that sentence through Google AI. And I got pages which I shared inside the program. And you can also go and do this for yourself if you want to. Just type in, why are healers so persecuted in society? And in those pages, it talks about how when religious and medicinal control came in, and I want to say, was it the 16th century or the 17th? I can't remember. They started killing off healers, not just witches. And we all know the witch trials were a lie anyway. It was a great way to get rid of powerful women. Sadly, not much has changed. We still have those same levels of misogyny and imbalance around women, basically. We're still dealing with patriarchy. But it was killing people who could heal you with plants or with medicine. They didn't want you to be able to work with the earth, be with the earth and heal yourself. They wanted you in the medicine system and the religion system. Now, I'm very grateful we have modern medicine. I think most of us are. You know, I love alternative medicine and I mostly use it. But boy, you know, I think we'll all agree that sometimes when you need modern medicine, thank God for it. It's a miracle. It's not medicine that's the problem. And it's not religion that's the problem, but it's the way that they are used, or the way that they are used to control. And so to eradicate this incredible wisdom, which many cultures and tribes around the world have fought hard to hold on to in the face of, you know, a global, whatever you want to call it, a global ruling or a global system. And I think 25 years ago, if you'd have talked to people about this, they would have called it a conspiracy theory. They would have called it ludicrous. Well, right now we are learning and evidence is coming out and we are seeing, wow, there's this incredible shadow that has been in positions of power all over the world, running the world. And what I'm witnessing right now is the attempt to make humanity even more disempowered than ever before, to kind of squash. And so that's the period that we're in. And so we as a society, we want to be connected tribally. And there was a time back in history where if you were kicked out of the tribe, you might die. you know, the tribe is how you depend. And now we're in this more automated system that looks after us. So we've kind of lost connective threads tribally, which is a problem. And that's why we have to come back together and find each other. And we have to work to maintain that so that we don't become a number in the system. We don't lose our soul. But I think it's that group who don't want to see that. Why aren't we seeing miraculous things on the news? And Regina Meredith, who is a wonderful journalist and presenter, Gaia TV, I'm sure many people know her. She and I did a book together called The Future Human. And when we were recording those recordings for the book, she said to me that when she was a journalist in the 80s, in the early 80s, she used to try and do these positive stories. And occasionally she said they would have this thing called a ticker, where stories would be sent into the newsroom. And she would go to the head of the network and go, oh, I want to do this. And they would get a phone call. No, you can't do that positive story. You need to do this devastating story. So whoever they are, they don't want us to see transformation. They want to keep us in a low vibration. So in a way, that's why I always say you're brave and you're bold if you are standing on behalf of consciousness at this time. It's not an easy path. There's a lot of ridicule. There's a lot of kickback. There's a lot of hate. And there are also people who don't want you to do what you're doing. So it's an interesting time. But I'm also aware that the Z's talk about consciousness is rising, and they've been saying it for years. And I always wondered, well, what would need to change for more people to wake up? And I think we're in a very uncomfortable, quite grief-stricken time right now around seeing that the world is not quite what we thought it was. And so there is this rising energy that's just coming to a head, I feel. And we're right in it right now. Yeah.
Interesting. Maybe we should invite the seas to come and talk.
Perfect timing. I'll just have a little water.
Yes, sure.
Okay. Well, just take me a moment.
Yes.
Good. Ha, a pleasure to be with you. And we are aware you have questions. But before we go there, we will start by addressing a few things that will flow on from the conversation the two of you were just having. What you all have to remember while you are, shall we say, in your human body, your human mind, your human emotional energy field, listening to a conversation like this, is that you are also a light body. You are a light body. And you can leave your body very quickly. We have always said it is not hard to die on Earth. You might perceive that this gravity suit that you are in is more indestructible than it truly is. But when it is your time as a soul, you will be taken off the Earth and you will willingly go. We understand that the hardest thing for those of you on Earth is when you lose a loved one, because you are left with the grief of them being gone. But for you leaving the Earth, there is no grief. There is no one left behind, for you are able to stay connected to them at a soul level. And so why we bring this up is you are asked to heavily identify with your flesh. You are asked to heavily identify with your physical body. And it is an identification that does not serve you. And what you must pay attention to is those who are not willing for you to have that experience. Lee used the word hate earlier, and that is very important to notice. There are many of you who will get wrapped up in intellectual arguments with people because you don't understand that their goal is to hate or to minimize or to reject. There are whole philosophical debates that go on about war and the nature of war. When actually what you should simply be asking yourself is, do we agree to this? Do we believe that in order for our safety, we should annihilate another group? Or do we take the path that many spiritually evolved people would say, which is, okay, then it is my time to leave my body. I do not want any part of this war game, this low vibration energy that is playing out on the planet. Now, all of you are evolved souls. And what we mean by this is all of you have had at least one lifetime on Earth before, and many of you have had many. There is no one who would listen to this who is an entirely new soul for, with all respect, Janneke and Lee are currently talking about moving from the old paradigm to the new paradigm. So if you were a new soul, this would not be of interest to you. And there is nothing wrong with that, unless you are researching what the world is and what humans are. So all of you have had at least one incarnation on Earth, and some of you have had many. And you decided to come back at this time to help usher in the transformation that was long ago promised. Over 10,000 years ago, there was a state of being that was available within humanity that got stopped. You have to understand that just as on your planet, there are those who want to go to war with each other. When you look at the galactic relationship, meaning your brothers and sisters who live in other dimensions, on other planets and star systems, there is not unity there either. There is sometimes a perception that you will always be safe in those realms. But even in those realms, there is the desire to, shall we say, annihilate the other. So you are now living at a time in history where more and more of your human brothers and sisters and others are waking up. And they are waking up to see that reality is not quite what they thought it was. But many of you did it spiritually. You either through a catalytic event in your own human life that shattered your perception of reality as you knew it, or through a spiritual experience that found you, decided quite a while ago, in some cases, some of you have been at this for 60, 70 years, that the Earth was not what everyone said it was. You were already clear about this. Well, at this time in history, the awakening is not quite so comfortable or well held. There are many people who are not having a spiritual experience. Instead, they are having a deep crisis about what the Earth is and what they are seeing playing out. Corruption in leadership they did not know they would ever see in their lifetime or bear witness to. The joy of war for certain individuals who want to go to war to gain power or authority over or to wreak vengeance on another. There are many with wounded hearts on this planet who can be co-opted by warlords. If the heart is wounded and if the conditions are right, you can stop the emotional development of a young being and entrain them into hate. Why? Because the human wants to feel. The human being wants to feel. Even those of you who say you are not very feeling, even those of you who are wired a little different, perhaps you may see yourself as neurodivergent, so you do not think you feel the same way others who are not neurodivergent do, but you all want to feel. That is the point of this planet. Feeling is a big part of it. Even the intellectuals feel wonderful about their intellect. They feel wonderful about their latest discovery in their mind. They may not share it with others. They may not be highly relational in that way, but they feel good about spending time in their mind. It pleases them. It entertains them. It makes them feel good about themselves, what they're discovering, and it fascinates them. So when you are around people who do not feel for another, when their heart is in semi or full darkness, that is when you are in the presence of one who hates. And some of these are human, some not so much. Some of them are more hybrid entities. And indeed, entities have sometimes entered these beings. So for all of you, what you are here doing right now is preserving the feeling and the soul of humanity at a time when many would like to turn humans into numbers on a board. Numbers on a grid. And you might say, well, who are these people? Well, you do not know their faces and names. Even their biggest representatives on Earth right now, they have overlords. They are not the people you think they are. And many of them are being played and they do not realize they are. Many of them are playing exactly into the agenda of some of these hidden beings who want them to play this out. Now, here is where we have to back up the information for a second. When we say this kind of thing, we recognize that some humans feel relief because they have always felt or known this and they are pleased to hear it backed up. And others will listen in horror and they perhaps have never considered this and they cannot believe that there is such an agenda at work on the planet. We will tell you it is not a human agenda. That is why it feels so foreign to you. And it has been going on for a very long time, and it is not one group. In fact, there are many different groups vying for control on Earth. And we have always said that in many ways they are going to collapse each other. There is a lot more infighting about power and authority on Earth than you might realize. So if you have an idea that there is one fixed group who are trying to control humanity, we assure you it is not that. There are multiple groups vying for different control of different resources and different aspects of the Earth, and they themselves are at war right now. You just don't see it or know about it. However, you are living at a time where more and more of this is moving into the mainstream. So what does it do to you as humans? Ah, well, it brings up all the unhealed fragments in you, because it magnetizes to the surface in you feelings, thoughts, energy templates that you perhaps have not dealt with before. So your human response might be to say, this grief I am feeling about the situation in the world is terrible. And if only the world would change, my grief would be over. And we say, no, this situation in the world is bringing up in you the grief of the ages that you need to feel and lose from your energy field. That is why you are purging old energies on the planet from your own personal timelines and from collective history. So you may say, I am feeling enormous grief about this experience I am witnessing because I must have had a past life that involved it. And we would say, possibly, but there is another way. The other way is that you came here to get yourself embedded in all of the timelines on Earth through collective history. And many of you are healing oriented. You did come here as people who wanted to move energy on the planet, not just your own, but also to assist with the shift that you are now in. So you might greatly resonate with an event on the planet that you do not have personal past life experience of, but you elected to move yourself into the energy of that timeline. This is why you must never criticize others if they are not grieving the same thing as you. Just because someone else does not feel the same compassion that you feel in a certain area, they may be feeling it in areas that you have no connection to. As one group on this planet, you are covering all bases. And even the idea of criticizing others is war. When you criticize the path of another, when you criticize the actions of another, it is war. Look at your internet, an incredible hive mind force of how to spread, connect, and deliver information, energetics, a wonderful thing. And yet, so many want to sit there complaining or taking shots at what people are doing rather than living their own life. This is the energy of war. And it's a seed that you can either water and let grow inside you, or that you can recognize and weed out. Because you say, no, I am not here for division. I am not here for war. I am here for love and consciousness. And even if I feel something inside me that might want to take aim back at that person, I'm going to look at what the wound is. I'm going to look at what triggered me. I'm not going to get involved with their vibrational game. I am here for a higher vibration and a higher timeline. And when you can practice that, then your experience of this earth starts to shift. And when your experience of this earth starts to shift, you also become an ambassador of sowing that energy and offering that energy wherever you go. So we are aware you diligently prepared many questions, Janneke. So we will pause here and hand over to you. But it is good to see you. You are doing very well, and you are brightening and lightening up in your own energy field. There is a freedom that you are accessing, despite your deep empathy for what is going on in the world. There is a freedom and a power that you are accessing for many different reasons, some of which beautiful personal life healing, some of which your recognition of the importance of your mission, not from an egoic standpoint, but from the fact that you are doing exactly what any connected human does. You are recognizing you can do something on Earth. You can create. And how wonderful is that? So why not create? So it is good to see you rising in your recognition of your own power, power that you will share, power that you will use to uplift and enhance the lives of others. And that was always going to be your purpose. It is wonderful that you have arrived at a deeper level of it, dear one. So an honor for us to be witness, not just to you and this whole conversation, but to your community, for we are here living through this with you, even if we are not embodied. We are here watching, present, and connected to everything that is going on, for we are in it with you in so many ways.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. You answered a lot of my questions, actually, so that's interesting. quite intuitive there, which doesn't surprise me. You have said that we've been giving a story of Earth that is limiting. And then I'm curious about who is giving us that story and in what way is it limiting? So what is the real story of Earth?
Well, once you program humans with a story that they believe that fits their belief system or serves their experience, they will make it known in their body. They will repeat it to others. So we will take your Bible as an example. This is a tome, or you would call it a book, that has in it many truths, many, many truths. It also has in it many avenues of control and misinformation. The misinformation and the control was inserted to be able to control society when there weren't controls in place. It is no different to the attempted control that is now happening technologically. So the truth is that you are all galactic in origin. The truth is that the human story is not quite as human as you have been led to believe, but in order to disconnect you from your, what you might call spiritual or soul power, you needed to believe that your origins were quite small, quite what you might call simple. Your origins were far from simple. The destiny of the human was always to see how, we will call it, an animal body could have a greater, wider consciousness. And in fact, physically, humans could have evolved far faster had the consciousness development been allowed to happen. So in times past, there were periods, seasons, and places where the development of human consciousness was happening very fast. And there were times where things fell apart, things couldn't stabilize because of the frequency field of the Earth. And then there were interested parties who arrived and decided to see the Earth as an interesting resource for themselves, to see the Earth as a refuge planet. For when things became difficult galactically and there were less refuges, the Earth was seen as a place where, shall we say, other beings could hide in plain sight. But it was very important that they were not disclosed as other. And fear was sown into humanity around anything to do with other. You see, if you can successfully train humans to be, let's say, racist, homophobic, sexist, xenophobic, if you can train humans to hate on other groups, you start to successfully create division. And the more division exists, the less unity can rise. So there'll always be groups that will hold on to unity. But the reason for doing this, the agenda, was so that humans didn't develop. In short, what we can say is there have been several groups who have been vying for control of planet Earth. And it was always prophesied that they would only have so long in which to do it. And there would come a point after 2012 when they would no longer be able to have quite the same grip on the planet because the consciousness of Earth was always going to rise. Now, this is why you are seeing deeper attempts to drag you backwards. It is why you are seeing deeper attempts to strip away rights, to have what we would call your overlords insert laws and rules into your society that will limit you in so many ways. And they will say it is for your best interests, but it is not. And those who are paying attention know this. So the best way we can describe it is the way we just did. Now, the reason it is relevant today is that many of you are feeling this through your light bodies more than ever before. There are many listening to this who, even though they have their moments with the earth where it feels particularly heavy or dark, or they are going through a purge of those emotions or feelings, there are also many of you who have never felt quite so connected to the light and to spirit as ever before. That is because the veil is thinning. That is because all of the old rules that used to be, well, shall we say, nailed in to the story of Earth are losing their power, losing their grip. There have been those in the past decades who have always been a voice of this, but they were fewer in number than now. So we would equate this time you are in to being a little like the wild, wild west. There is a wildness to this time that makes many of you nervous. And we understand that. We understand that comfort, security, stability is a good place to be because Earth is difficult enough. But at the same time, this wild, wild west energy is actually what is allowing so much of the transformation to occur. So our advice is to stay the course, to look after yourself as well as you can. And that includes healing or cleaning up anything from the past that you feel you have not attended to. This is a good time to do it, for the energies will be supportive. Don't be afraid. Find the therapist, the healer, the counselor, or the good friend that you need to confide in. Be honest with people who are close to you. Let them move away from you if they don't like your truth. That will leave space for the ones who will. This is not a time to delay your own personal progress. This is a time to lean into your healing, but it is also a time to be an ambassador and an example of that for others. For you do have unity in numbers. And no matter how much oppression is still taking place or attempting to take place, it is a losing battle, ultimately. The question is how long you have to go through the battle part of it. And that requires more and more people to stand up. And that does not mean you have to stand on a soapbox if you are uncomfortable to do that and be a public voice. But it does mean you need your honesty in your life. You need to be able to say to someone what you are feeling, not to dump that on them and expect them to fix it, but to be honest about what you are feeling, with love, with kindness, with compassion, allowing them to have a different opinion to you, but no longer censoring what you feel, what you need, what you think, particularly when the feeling is rising strongly in you. Many of you are going to have breakthroughs around that in the coming months alone. You are going to find yourself more you than you have ever been able to feel, and yet it will not feel relatable to you. For the truth is, your light body is getting stronger. So many of you are having very strange experiences of your lives right now. It's almost as if you have crossed over to the other side half the time, and you no longer recognize this physical gravity of Earth. And it's not because the Earth is the problem. It's because the world that was created on Earth is no longer resonant from your new vantage point. So it is not a time to sit on your hands and wait for someone else to build it, unless you are exhausted or needing to recover. If that is your truth, be good to yourself. Wait. There will be others who will be doing the work right now while you recover and get yourself back. But for the rest of you, it is a time to be and build the change you want to see in the world. And building does not always mean writing a book or creating a commune for others. It often means I am going to be as authentic and as honest and as free with myself as I can be in every conversation and interaction I have, because the truth is, that is where so much healing happens. There are many on the planet who would never consider entering the worlds of self-growth or spirituality. It's foreign to them. But if they have a conversation with you that you suddenly bring some truth into, even if they aren't used to it or they're uncomfortable, that is a powerful imprint moment that you have with them. You may underestimate the significance of it, but 5 years later, they will find you and they will say, do you remember that time that we were having that conversation and you were so honest with me about your divorce? I hadn't realized I was in a similar situation, and your honesty took me back at the time, and I didn't know what to say, but it started a chain of awareness in me. You are all generating chains of consciousness and awareness in each other. So if you are here as an awake soul, own that, be that, and trust that through your doing that, you will multiply that energy across the planet. And that is your job. In fact, that's your only job. And within that job, you also get to experience your own life, your own journey as this human being that you will be once. Your soul, yes, may have many lives, but this identity that you are today with this name, with this body, at this specific time in history, it will never be again. And you sometimes forget the preciousness of that. Why? Because many of you have been put onto a hamster wheel because of the financial inequity of your system. So you are busy, busy, busy trying to make a living, and we have full compassion for you on that. Many of you do not see enough examples of conscious living in your mainstream, we will call it, not just media, but construct. But many of you are here to be the remedy to that, because people who have not felt something different do not know to believe that something different is better. But when they feel something different, they change. The person who we just gave the example of, who you speak about your divorce to, and then 5 years later they come around to you, they may never go to a therapist. They are too scared. They are too judgmental. They have been told that therapists are just for people who have big problems, and that scares them. They don't want to be one of those. They don't know about their own emotions. But you, they trust. They don't know you that well, but when they are standing having a conversation with you, there is something about you they feel safe enough with, that when you share the details of why you got divorced, something in them stirs. And we are not advocating divorce here, by the way. We are just giving an example. But we will say there are many relationships where people should separate. We are not advocates of you must always stay the course in the relationship you are in. It depends how well you chose the person in the first place. There are many relationships that go through extraordinary cycles of growth, and then they need to lovingly let each other go to go through something else. And there are many relationships where people did not choose the right person because they did not know. And people stay in unhappy, unfulfilling relationships. And we would say, why do that to yourself? Work on yourself, bring yourself forward, and your partner may transform with you. And if they don't, trust that, both of you will be clear. So the example we give is how you are each ambassadors for healing on the planet in ways you don't even understand. And that's important to own now.
This is very helpful, at least to me. And I think I'm not the only one feeling that. Thank you so much. I would like to go over to a very dark topic because I think there are many people out there who have the same feeling as me, being overwhelmed by the cruelty, the gruesomeness, the horror that we have learned about in the Epstein files, what has been done to especially children. And it's so horrible that it's hard to even wrap your mind around it and the reach of it, and that so many people are involved in it. And I am curious if you could share a metaphysical perspective on it, the role of Epstein, and how to know what is true or not. Like, I open my YouTube feed and I see videos where I'm thinking, the title of that video is so gruesome that I don't want to watch it, because if that is true, I don't know if I how to handle that even. So I'm asking several questions here, like a metaphysical perspective on the Epstein files, his role in it, and how to handle the truth if this is actually true, what's coming forward now.
So the first thing we will say is you have to understand that those who are involved in these, you call them files, we would say incidents that are reported in files, you have to imagine that for someone to operate in such a dark, disconnected, non-heartfelt way, to also be one of the or many of the people who have been in power positions in your world, that is very sobering for many. Now, we would argue that the discerning person can feel. The discerning person could have seen any of these people, let's say, on video. Photographs do not give you the right impression. You have to be highly intuitive to read a photograph. But you are less intuitive to read a video. when you can see someone moving or you are in person with them, you will feel there is a coldness within them. And even if they are good at generating warmth or love, you will know that it is not rooted in anything. It is performative. It is surface. So the horrors that you speak about in these files, if that is how they can behave to innocent children, women, other victims who were not children or women, how do they feel about humanity as a whole? The level of contempt and darkness that must be inside you to be able to do that in the ways that these people did it, that is the mirror that is very uncomfortable. And that is the wake-up call. There are two things going on. You are horrified that people have experienced this. Then you are horrified that it has been so covered up and so rife around the world. And then you understand a bit more what we were talking to you about earlier. So it is true that there are some of you who are wired to look at the darkness and there are some who are not. We have spoken about this publicly. So has Lee. So he will not mind us sharing. He cannot look at the darkness for too long. He can to some degree. And he has friends in his life who do and who report to him what their findings are. But there are certain souls, it does not help you to peer at the darkness. We are not saying, therefore, you shouldn't, if you feel duty-bound or compelled to look at it because it will be part of your growth, you must. Then there are others on the planet who have an ability to look at this material in order to be a reporter on it, a voice on behalf of it, an advocate for it. Many times they have been around that kind of darkness before. In other lifetimes, they have either been adjacent to it, or in some cases, they themselves perhaps perpetuated it. You see, there is a karmic cycle for many humans in that you can have done things in other lives that you would be ashamed of in this life. You would never do because your consciousness is different. We're not saying it's always that way or it's fixed that way or it's equal for everyone, but there are those who are living very light lives now where their lives were not so light if you go back in time. As for these files, what you have to ask yourself is what is being done. And we will say they were not supposed to be released. What we mean by this is there were many people trying to stop the release of these files. But there was another group who were powerful enough to push through and get them out. But notice how manipulated they are being now. And notice how even those who are incriminated in the files are still operating. Nothing has happened to them or for them. So if that doesn't wake you up to the fact that the power is full of shadow, we are not sure what will. It is going to be the case for all of you that you will not know what to believe at times in the coming years. One of the ways that AI will be used in the negative is to create misinformation, documentation, videos that are not real, but that once the technology that has already been developed is more released to the public, it will be harder to discern. But you will feel, you will know, you will feel. This is why developing your discernment, your intuition, your feeling is so important. So to those of you who are in horror that this could have been going on the planet, what you are seeing is the shadow of darkness. And we want you to know this is not the whole of humanity. This is not even the majority of humanity. This is a dark minority, and many of them are not human. So you have to be deeply wounded. We have said this before. Often the attempt with sexual abuse of children is to go back to the light and the innocence that is present in them. It's something that those beings or souls are trying to reach or feed on. That tells you everything you need to know about their own connection to light and their own soul. Power is a huge part of this dynamic. Often it is spoken about in a sexual way, but anyone who wants to violate another sexually, it is not about sex. It is about power and it is about abuse. Now, there are many people incriminated in those files, and not all of them are incriminated correctly. And there were many names inserted into those files for what we will call protection. Epstein was a bridge and a protector. He was more of a puppet than he even realized. So it is one of the darkest reveals of your history. But unfortunately, many humans get stuck on the files. They stay there. They don't zoom out and ask themselves, well, what does this really mean? What does this mean on a wider scale? What does this mean I've been believing all of these decades? There are going to be two more major incidences in the next 2 years that will be on a scale of this. And it will take those two to fully wake up more people to some of the shadow that is in your world. And we must say this too, even though your political system is corrupt and very low vibration on the planet, there are good people in there too, trying to push against what is there. So do not just make a blanket assumption that every single person working in politics is corrupt or shadowy. That is what we will call the war mentality. You see, an unevolved human is quick to react, is quick to be triggered, is quick to make a damning statement about a whole group. That is the war mentality. That is the same mentality where you have groups on the planet who want to wipe out whole religious groups, whole race groups, whole sexual identity groups. That is war. And that is your biggest problem on Earth. That is how Earth and why Earth doesn't get to evolve the way it could. War is your biggest problem on Earth. And you knew that coming here. But this war on the souls of individuals and the darkness inherent in it, it is very hard for some of you to even come to terms with, which is why it is good to take it in small doses. And do not judge yourself if you feel you cannot look any further because it is not helping you. If you are aware it is there and you know the, we'll call it the headlines, for many of you, that will be enough. And we wouldn't advise that some of you go fishing into these files, even though you may have brothers and sisters on the planet saying that everyone should. That's their opinion. They're not in your body. They're not in your nervous system. They don't know your path. The fact that you are having a feeling response to it is enough. Those who have no feeling response to it, they are the ones who need the healing. They are the ones who need to look deeper into their own heart and to recognize they feel detached from this because they weren't in that situation. But it happened and has been happening on the very same planet you inhabit. That is something you have to sit with.
Thank you for that. And I see that time is running. And I think that it's, I'm hoping for a positive answer now because I'm curious about the future. Are we moving into a higher consciousness? Are we moving into a more loving world? And could you say anything about timing, whether Lee and I and people who are living now will experience a much more harmonious world?
Well, we will say two things. Firstly, you create your own timeline and your own vibrational reality. We are saying that not to sound like a quote or a bumper sticker. We are being truly genuine. This is important to understand. You create your own vibrational reality and your own timeline. So even if your circumstances are very difficult, and there are people who are in dire circumstances, far worse off than many on the planet, but they are managing to cultivate presence, gratitude, a reverence for life, for being alive. And then there are others who have all of the trappings that you are taught to want in Western society as if that is going to make you feel whole. And they are miserable, depressed, disconnected, lonely. So we will say that you will experience the love that you wish to cultivate. And it is upon you to cultivate it. So if you are practicing gratitude, if you are practicing presence, if you are practicing reverence for the moment, if you are allowing yourself to feel and be in the knowing that you are alive and that you won't be alive forever in this body, and that this is an experience that you have more autonomy over than your system or your teachings have ever allowed you to believe, but it will take work. So firstly, there is that. You are creating your own vibrational reality, whatever your circumstances. And that doesn't mean you won't have a bad day or a very distressing period in your life or something can't come along that is difficult. We're not saying that. It's not an insurance policy against bad things, but it is an insurance policy against how you feel about the ups and downs and the waves of life. You will be able to see them from a higher vantage point, be able to step back in awareness. But secondly, as to what is actually happening on the planet, you have three groups who need to be what we will call hobbled, meaning they need to lose their grip on power. Now, they are all vying for control and they are forming alliances, thinking they are alliances, but actually two of them will annihilate each other. They will start as an alliance and then they will annihilate each other. We won't be naming the groups, so please don't ask. It is not wise. But we will tell you that there are three groups vying for control on the planet. And as they go through the coming 1 to 2 years, there is going to be more turbulence in their own inner world. But what you are going to see is the breaking open of people's, shall we say, frustration and desperation. The belief is that you can herd people into smaller lives and that they will tolerate it. The reality will be that they will not. And it's not because they will feel pride or ego about it. It is that there will be suffering that they will directly see impacting their brothers, sisters, their loved ones. And so they will rise up because there will also be enough in the collective who will say, this is not the life we want. We would rather be dead. So they will take that risk. And as they start to take that risk, more will rise and it will show more what you're really here for. You're here for expansion. And this earth, it will not combust. Humanity will not be wiped out. But equally, humanity will not be enslaved, even though there are those who would like to attempt to put that in place. And they have been doing this for several years and they are doing it right now. And more of you are becoming privy to it. It will take the majority of you saying no, no. So we will tell you that yes, on your own personal timelines, many of you, even in the next 2 years, even as you go through all of the things you're seeing right now, you personally will feel more connected to light, to presence, and to spirit. You will realize you are not alone on the planet because A, you have each other, and B, you have your connection to spirit. But secondly, how things look right now, and to some of you, things do not look good. We understand that because it does look like they are succeeding in many of their agendas. As their agendas start to, shall we say, lock into place, there will be more chaos than it currently looks like. Right now, it looks like there is control, but the chaos is going to rise. And you will see this in the second half of this year and particularly through 2027, but you are on a trajectory to 2030. And beyond that, there is a major transformation on the planet. It is of no insignificance that there is also a darker agenda forecast for that year onwards. It is its own, shall we say, attempt to control where you are going. And what we will tell you is there are so many of you on the planet who are building a very different future. And you will be ready. By the time the people need you more, you will have already done the work and taken all the steps to be ready at the moment that you need to be ready to serve and to help build and create a different world. That is the timeline you are on right now. And that is the timeline that we do not see deviating, even though there will be, shall we say, energetic explosions along the way. But, and we have said this before, and we have given these themes to Lee in his monthly energy updates, you have to remember that certain things at the moment will look bad for a little while. They will come along and for a period of days or weeks, they will look very bad, perhaps. But they will change. Now, we are not saying, so therefore, just accept everything you see and do not stand up for what you need to stand up for, because it will be people standing up for these things that will change them. But if you are someone who feels a little paralyzed right now or only in fear of the world, we would say look for the light inside yourself, in those around you, and in and within spirit. That's where you'll be returning to. That is your home. And the more you can bring that energy to and through your body and your humanity, the more this planet will change. There is an enormous number of conscious, loving beings on this planet, many of whom are just being activated right now. They are just beginning to wake up to their power right now. And there are many of you who have been doing this for a long time. Who will be the ones to help them across the bridge?
All right. Thank you so much.
Good. A pleasure to be with you. Take good care of yourselves and your hearts. Let's just do a few breaths together, for we can feel that some need a little heart expansion. So in through the nose, gently and slowly, and then out through the mouth, gently and slowly. In through the nose, gently and slowly, out through the mouth, gently and slowly. In through the nose, gently and slowly, out through the mouth, gently and slowly. You are here. You are alive. You were always meant to be here now. Your journey is to discover the why and the way that you will be here. In peace, in love, and in light to all.
Thank you. Wow, gosh. Oh my goodness, they had a lot to share today.
Yeah.
Wow, that was interesting. And I've heard you say before that, and I felt that today, that when you hear this channeling, we just get four new questions. Like, yeah. It's down the rabbit hole. I mean, there was so much there. I got to watch this again. I felt there was a lot of new information here as well that I haven't heard before.
It's so interesting because, you know, I've been channeling personally now for 27 years. I've been channeling publicly for 23. And, I've heard this so many times because I release, you know, I have a monthly members community called The Portal, and I put a new audio out every month as part of what I do in there. And I've heard so many people say, I've listened to this channel 6 times and every time it's different. And the Z's have even said, the information might hit you in a certain emotional place the first time you hear it, but it will clear. And then when you go back, that won't hit you in the same way. So you'll hear the other thing. And I don't listen back to the channels often, but I've had that experience, and people have told us that with The Future Human, which to me was, you know, certainly one of the most, you know, that collaboration with Regina was probably
the book.
Most like this. Yeah, it's a book. And so we created audio recordings. So the audio book is exactly as the conversations happened. It's not narrated. It's the actual conversations in the studio with Regina and the Z's. And then we turned it into a book as well, you know, for those who like reading. And that to me is also one of those things that you know, because I had to read it for editing. And I also was like, oh, wow, I'm hearing this differently. So there is something to channeled information that is much more dimensional and much more from the soul. Yeah. So our human ego has its initial reaction. I mean, I've literally had people say, why did the Z's say this? And I'm thinking, I don't think they said that. And I'll have one of my team, and they'll go, no, they didn't say that. But people will hear what they want to hear. So it's very interesting. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Fascinating. My goodness. Well, thank you so much, Lee. I mean, it must take some energy from you doing this, or do you feel okay now? I was like,
no, it
does.
This
is a lot of words. And
yeah. You know, I find it's more intense when we're dealing with the intense topic. So that's why I limit how much I do it. And I do think I will stop public channeling at some point in the coming years. I don't know when, but I know at some point I will stop doing it. But at the moment it feels important, I think, particularly because we're in such a crucial time. So I think because people tell me it helps them, that's why I keep doing it. But yeah, I get hot. And a lot of energy goes through my nervous system. So yeah, that's why I never really channel for more than 75 minutes at a time.
All right. Yeah. That is self-love. And speaking of that, that is one of my general questions that I ask everyone. So Lee, what is self-love to you?
Oh, wow. That's a great question, Janneke. What is self-love to me? I think it's learning to continually accept all parts of myself and look after all those parts of myself. It was really funny. I had this moment where we were at this 50th birthday party. I threw a party here in England. There were about 75 people. My family, I have a big family, and my family had put all these photos of me on the tables where people were going to have their food. And it was like photos from my childhood. And there was this photo of me as a teenager, which was probably my most troubled time. It was a very difficult. And I sat down at the table to eat food with, you know, my beloved and some of my friends. And then I was confronted with this picture of me as a teenager. And I caught the part of me that didn't want to look at him, didn't want to see him. And I was like, oh, that's one of the most wounded times of your life. So I actually did a whole thing where I was like, oh God, that poor boy, love him, because he was struggling so much. So I actually did a little work. They gave me all the photos. So I just looked at it. So I think for me, self-love is an ongoing journey of like kind of trying to bring love to the parts of me that I didn't love, or that I didn't know how to love or take care of. So I think it's always moving. But if I'm willing to look after myself, it's easy to look after others, right? I think most of us are very good at giving love to others or wanting to. That was easy for me. My bigger learning was, how do I look after myself and just take care of myself, my own body, my own. So yeah, over the years, I think I've just increased in self-love, as you do. I think as you get older and as you get more spiritually aware, you know, it's been a process and a journey for me, because I will say that I definitely had self-hatred in my teenage years and my early 20s. I identified, and hatred is a strong word, but I had it, you know, in certain parts of me. And I was like, wow, there are parts of me that have this. And I learned it, I think, also growing up, knowing I wasn't heterosexual, and you're taught to hate yourself for that. There were lots of things in society that tell us whether we're validated or not. You know, I was with a female friend who's in her 60s now, and she's going, wow, I'm really having to learn to love myself as a 60 something woman, because society didn't give me that model. And I'm like, yeah, you know, society, women have that hoisted on them so much, you know. So it's an interesting one. But yeah, for me, that's it. It's like, can I keep loving the parts of myself I maybe wasn't capable of loving or looking after before? And can I find ways to hold space for myself now, not look for someone else to do it or look for someone else to fix it? How can I sit with myself? And I'm definitely better at doing that than I used to be, thank God.
That's very inspiring. Thank you for sharing so open-heartedly. And I love your authenticity, Lee. It's that you're so transparent and honest about your former experiences. And yeah, I really love that. And I think then we just feel that it's okay to be ourselves and be vulnerable when, you know, a person like you, who's a role model, talk about your past like that.
And I'm hoping that as a society, we can humanize, like, whether it's role models or, you know, whether it's someone who looks at you, Janneke, and goes, oh, Janneke's got everything together, you know. And I think we often paste that onto people because we're not really willing to see who they are. We're willing to see what we want them to be. And I think, you know, whether someone's in a position of being a teacher of something, so people think, well, then they've got no self-doubt. That's not true. I always have loved, I don't care about people's accolades. I don't want someone to sit there and tell me what they've achieved. I want someone to tell me how they got through the tough stuff. That's so much more. And I think most of us are that way, but I think you and I are probably the generation where we're allowed to be vulnerable. When I was growing up, talking about emotions, especially in England, was a no-no. And so that's why I was so tormented, because I was feeling a lot as a sensitive, but couldn't find places to express it. So I had to go to self-growth and spirituality. And now I love that this younger generation, it's easier for them to be in touch with their feelings and their emotions. That's really healthy.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. My final question that is going to wrap up this powerful episode to me. What is the deeper meaning of life from your perspective?
Oh, wow. God. You know, I don't know if I have an answer for that, honestly. What is the deeper meaning of life from my perspective. I don't know if I have an answer for, I guess, you know, if I take in everything the Z's have said and what I've learned and what feels true to me, I think we're here to have a fully embodied experience. And I don't know if our minds can ever work it out. But I think if we fully embody the present moment, the relationships, what's happening in front of us, and we give ourselves to life, then I think we're doing great with whatever the meaning of life is. But most of us weren't allowed to fully embody, weren't encouraged to fully embody. We don't know what it means to be present because no one's ever modeled it to us. So a lot of us have to go and figure that out. So to me, the deeper meaning of life, I would say, is that. The Z's, what would you say? They would say to live, love, be present, and evolve. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Ali, for coming back to the show. I really enjoy this.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful for your work. And I'm going to see you in Oslo. I can't wait.
I know. I can't wait to give you a hug because I think we did our first interview, what, 12 years ago, but we've never met?
Yes.
So it's pretty amazing, right? So I can't wait to see you in Oslo. Thank you. And thank you for doing what you do, Jannicke. I shared this with you personally before we started, but I'm going to share it with you now. So I live in California and there's a restaurant I go to a lot. And there's a waiter I really love there. He's just a special human being. He's in his early 30s. And we always have a really nice chat when I'm there. And probably the eighth time I'm in there, he comes and he goes, like that. And he walks and I think, oh God, what's going on? And he's at the other side of the room serving someone else. And he walks over to me and he goes, I had no idea what you do, but one of my favorite podcasts is Wisdom from North. And I love that show and I listen every week. And I just saw you on the show and I couldn't believe it because I realized I've got conversation with disease and the future human, but I didn't know it was you. I've been listening to them.
So
your work and what you do, Jannicke, is traveling far. And hey, we're still out here, right? Doing it all these years later. So kudos to you, my friend. And thank you for having me and everyone you have on the show.
Thank you so much, Lee.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was in 1962 that Pete Seeger wrote that song. That was Peter, Paul and Mary, of course, that's their version. A live version, even. But the questions, all the same questions that Lee's just been talking about war and how long is it going to go on for? So how long is it since 1962? We're not sure. It's the time now. Let's hope it is.
The Voice Within. Your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Center, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Another anthem a bit later this time, 1971. And this is an a cappella group called Pentatonix. Events coming up at Infinity Spiritual Centre. On the 31st, we have got Awakening Your Knowledge. That's Midia, that's a day event on Sunday. And then my Introduction to Spirit classes on a Wednesday, which is just a cohort to come along to that. We've got 3 weeks left. We've got chakras, frequencies, and a double head of numerology and astrology. And then into next month, on the 6th of June, which is a Saturday, Stacey's doing a beginner's tarot course. So that's an introduction to tarot, so you can go and learn about tarot card readings. Then on the 13th, we've got a charm making course. That's 10:30 to 12. I'm also making drums on that day. And Lucille is going to teach you how to read playing cards, ordinary playing cards, not tarot cards, but ordinary playing cards. And then on the 20th, which is our big 20th birthday, that's the solstice. So that's on all day. So stay tuned for events there. And then there's an evening event as well. And then on Sunday, Michelle Buchanan and Diane are coming over to do a workshop, an all-day workshop. So details to come, or you can find all the information on www.infinityspiritualcentre.co.nz. I am Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.